Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, honey, and may God give all the listeners tonight a special blessing for giving of their time to study Scripture when these days are just so chaotic. A reminder to be sure you have your pen and paper to write down the many confirming Scriptures I'm going to give you tonight that you're going to have to read on your own due to our limited airtime. But homework is always beneficial to our teachings. Let's pray.
Abba, Father, our Creator and Master of the universe, we adore you and cherish your holy word as we continue to seek more of you with our whole heart. We pray for the afflicted and downtrodden. May they look forward to their brighter future in your soon coming kingdom. We ask that you continue to pull at the heartstrings of our loved ones while taking serious notice of evil's enlargement, and therefore look to you for the truth. And we pray for America that thy will be done. We ask in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we hope you were blessed by last week's program about the rapture in the Old Testament.
For it's not just a new idea, as some Christian skeptics claim.
Right. It's always been God's will. All part of his plan for the ages, which is why he sent his son for us to pay our debt for sin.
For our judgment was nailed to the cross.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And we had a safe trip both to and back from Rhode Island.
And you did a beautiful memorial service.
Oh, thank you, dear. So tonight we will continue in Revelation with joy because we're in chapter 19, the splendid return of Jesus to earth.
Also called the second coming.
Amen. And boy, do we need his coming kingdom, because this current kingdom is about as corrupt as you can get. And we get more news of that fact every day. And for goodness sakes, what more can they do to President Trump?
Well, they want to throw him in jail.
It is so very obvious that we have a two-tier justice system. And as you know, he was arraigned today in the federal courthouse in Miami, pled not guilty, and says he will continue to fight.
How long can he withstand all this?
Well, I don't know. But he will be responding tonight. Look at all we know. I mean, we know he has flaws, and he's made mistakes. But I just still feel really bad for him.
Yeah, and sad for America.
Yes. Thankfully, he does have a Trump-appointed conservative judge, Aileen Cannon, I am told, at least for now. But they will say she's compromised and will try to change it to a different district, I'm sure. And it's all because he kept some classified documents. But compare that with the pay-to-play of the Biden family, and who have taken millions in bribery payments and seriously threatens our national security, especially with China, who, by the way, over the last week has been intimidating Taiwan by flying Chinese aircraft over the Taiwan Strait, even crossing the median line.
Well, you know, I think China's testing us.
All right. You know, how much can they get away with?
Well, apparently a lot, as long as Biden's president.
Just like the spy balloon and the spy, we have a spy base now, we just told, in the port of Cuba. They even have Chinese-made cranes containing spying devices in many of our U.S. ports. And they have a couple thousand ports around the world.
As they buy up more land.
Mm-hmm. China is just waiting for the right moment, well, especially watching our military and hoping we send more troops to Ukraine.
Yeah, to keep them busy.
Right, and then take over Taiwan, which they have been planning for many years.
And now Biden wants us to give Iran $17 billion.
I know, I can't believe that can happen. But he says to make a deal for some hostages and put a temporary halt to their nuclear program. But what's the key word here?
Temporary.
Yeah. And he knows Iran is supplying Russia with weapons to fight the Ukrainians. So let's see here. We're funding Ukraine to fight the Russians and then funding Iran to arm the Russians in the same conflict. That is the agenda. And it's in pretty plain sight. But the globalists always want war.
So, follow the money. Who gets richer?
Well, those making the weapons, for sure, and they're in cahoots with top military.
Called the military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm. And it helps their goal to depopulate because many die in wars. Oh, and another thing Biden did. He told Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel to shelve his proposed bill, which would limit foreign funding to NGOs, that's non-government organizations operating in Israel. Or, if not, he'll just never invite him to the White House. Can you believe that? Bibi says, this law is critical to ensure that foreign governments and interests cannot affect Israeli domestic policy. Because it's just a loophole for the left's anti-Semitic causes. As in pay-to-play and downright bribery, Bibi's bill would limit that funding.
Sounds right.
So, well, Netanyahu came in now that Biden also sweetened the deal by offering his assistance in streamlining a normalization agreement between Israel and Saudi Arabia.
As if Biden is so liked by the Saudi Arabians.
I know, right? They do not like him, which is why they're slowing down its oil flow. And finally, and this is shocking, despite announcing an end to the authoritarian COVID-19 government mandates, Biden is now requiring unvaccinated guests to practice social distancing and wear masks during any visit. I can't believe they're still pushing these often debilitating clot shots.
Well, the evidence is mounting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. If you'd like to contact us, you can send an email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we'll call you back. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And if you appreciate and are blessed by this program, any love offering is very much appreciated, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which also archives all the past radio and teaching newsletters for your added learning.
Okay, Revelation 19, let's dig right in as John now hears excitement coming from heaven after the three judgments of the seals, trumpets, and bowls are over. And the corrupted great harlot is gone. There's a lot going on in this chapter, and it's all good. Let's read Revelation 19. We'll start with 1 through 4.
After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication.
That encompasses all false religions.
And has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia.
So all of heaven is celebrating. And we looked at the 24 elders when we studied Revelation 4. And if you missed that, it's archived on shofarministries.net. But they are definitely a ruling class, perhaps even the leader angels in God's divine council that we studied last June. And that's also on our webpage. But let's continue in verse 5.
Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great.
Okay, so back in verse 1, John heard a great multitude, but now just one unidentified voice. Next, it goes back to the great multitude again in verses 6 through 8.
And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, at the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready.
Ready to rule with our King.
And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints.
Okay, notice the marriage has come, meaning past tense. For when we were raptured, we were also married, crowned, and rewarded. And now we are called his wife, and is returning for our unveiling, and then the reception of the marriage supper on earth, our first home. This conforms with the Jewish wedding customs of first the betrothal and given her contract, as when we got saved and were given our Bible, and then preparing and waiting for her groom to shout with a trumpet as he is coming for her. Then she returns with him to his house, has the ceremony, and then a honeymoon that must be for a period of 7. Now, it's usually days, but it could be weeks if they were very rich. But in our case, it'll be 7 years. Right now, we are waiting and preparing. How should we be preparing?
Study his contract, which is the word.
At the end of our honeymoon, he presents his wife as we follow him also on white horses. Then after the separation of the sheep from the goats, we will usher in his kingdom at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also his earthly birthday. With the reception supper back at the wife's former residence. So, who will be our guests at this dinner?
All the tribulation saints and all the righteous Jews.
Yes. All right, so let's continue in Revelation 19, verses 9 and 10.
Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Again, the identity of this being is unknown. Oh, some say perhaps Moses or Elijah, but it obviously wasn't Jesus. And this verse should be used for reproof, showing that we only worship the Lord and never bow down to statues or pray to dead saints. As well, this verse can also be used to those Christians who refuse to study eschatology. Jesus is prophecy, and all of Scripture points to Jesus, his first coming and his second coming. I am very saddened to hear from many that their church avoids talking much at all about his return, just saying he will come sometime, but probably not in our lifetime. Are you kidding me? If they would study the end times at all, they would recognize the signs. Anyhow, we know tonight's listeners understand the importance of studying prophecy. All right, so let's do verses 11 and 12.
Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like the flame of fire.
That speaks of judgment.
And on his head were many crowns.
Meaning king over all nations.
He had a name written that no one knew except himself.
This name is so grand that its depth is unreachable to man. Verse 13.
He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God.
You know, there's an Old Testament scripture in Isaiah describing this as well, and I'm glad it's there, because the blood here represents all the enemies that our Lord alone had trodden the winepress and is about to do again in the final battle against the Antichrist. Let's take a minute here and turn to Isaiah, which has 66 chapters. So it's like a mini Bible of our 66 books. And this is chapter 63 that we're going to read out of. So, and it's also prophesying Jesus' return. So let's read Isaiah 63 verses 1 through 4.
Who is this who comes from Edom?
That's the descendants of Esau.
With dyed garments from Bozrah.
That's where the city that Esau resided.
The one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. I, who speak in righteousness, mighty to save.
This describes Jesus.
Why is your apparel red and your garments like the ones who treads in the winepress?
Jesus answers Isaiah.
I have trodden the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one was with me. For I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. Their blood is sprinkled upon my garments.
So it's the enemy's blood, not Jesus' blood from the cross, as some interpret Revelation 19.
And I have stained all my robes, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed has come.
So you see, this is a great complementing scripture to Revelation 19. Okay, let's go back to Revelation, showing that his wife, that's us, is in white linen and will follow Jesus also on white horses, verses 14 through 16.
And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses.
Notice Jesus refers to us as his army.
Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword.
His word is our sharp sword, Hebrews 4, verse 12.
That with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Okay, you know what? I want to look at a passage in Jude. If you just want to go back a few pages, everyone. Here Jude gives credibility to Enoch's writings about Yeshua's return and what he'll do to the ungodly men. So let's look at Jude verses 14 and 15.
Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly war, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.
Okay, so on your own, you might want to also read complementary scriptures in Psalm 149 and also Zechariah 14 this week. So let's now continue in Revelation 19, which describes his victory over the beast and his armies, verse 17 and 18.
Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both great and small.
Okay, in other words, if you want to summarize this, it means, if they're unrighteous, they're going to be gone. Verse 19.
And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies, gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army.
You know, I think of Psalm 2, you know, where he who sits in the heavens laughs over the kings and rulers who plot a vain thing against his anointed. Verse 20.
Then the beast was captured.
Also referred to as Leviathan, who is punished with his sword, if you read Isaiah 27, which I highly recommend.
And with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone.
And Daniel 7:11 confirms this as well.
And the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh.
And that's also confirmed in 2 Thessalonians 2:8 and Isaiah 11:4. All right, well, again, this points to how the word, which is our sword, should be used to fight our enemies. And Ephesians 6 tells us that his word is our armor that should never come off. For flesh and blood is not the real enemy. It's the demonic influence behind unrighteous people. This will also fulfill the feast of Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement, which is the day he will return. Rosh Hashanah will be fulfilled with our resurrection, and his Day of Atonement, where he atones them, or Yom Kippur, is at his second coming, when the birds have their great supper, and will also be the separation of the sheep and the goat judgment of Matthew 25. That's another chapter that you might want to read this week. And then we will have our Feast of Tabernacles. So that'll be fulfilled as well. So we have these three fall feasts that haven't been fulfilled yet, but they will be, all surrounding our rapture, his return, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, opening up the millennial kingdom down here on earth. And that'll be 5 days after Yom Kippur. And again, we'll have our wedding supper, and it'll be glorious. And that'll be for, well, let's say 993 years, as the first 7 years happens in heaven, which begins with our resurrection / rapture. That begins the kingdom, but the first seven will be in heaven. And then we'll come down and finish the millennial kingdom on earth. And then after that will be eternity. Wow. We're getting close, people. You've been waiting for a long time. I know I sure have. Been preaching about this for 30-some years. So it looks like it's going to happen in our generation, and I can't be more excited about that. Oh, and by the way, Tabernacles will continue to be celebrated in the millennial kingdom in anticipation of eternity. Zechariah 14, and who knows what he's got in store for us then, but you can bet he has a plan. But now let me ask you, what system do you belong to? The beast system or the Lord's system? It's one or the other. Do you want to escape this horrendous tribulation? It's coming. You don't want to be here for it. And you know, Luke 21 says that we can't escape it. But you have to choose to. So choose to and repent of your sins. It's a part of your deliverance from the evil one controlling your life. And invite Jesus into your heart. Open that door, because he's knocking right now. Perhaps you are an in-name-only Christian of Matthew 7 who only has a head knowledge of him but not a true heart conviction, lacking the desire to be in his word. Get on your knees right now and recommit your life. Don't wait another moment. All right, I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.